This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Your number, 877-217-5757. Send us an email if you so choose to talk@talklouisiana.org. Glad you are finishing your week with us. Katie Ann McDonald producing today. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provide signature support for Talk Louisiana. In studio is Jamie Setz. 7.5 years he's been Executive Director of the Capital Region Planning Commission. His group is kicking off online public meetings as part of a listening and learning phase of the MOVE 2046 plan to gather input on the future of transportation in the capital region. Now, 2046 is 25 years away. That's a long time to plan.
Yes, it is.
Katie, please plot him up. There we go. I think we got it there.
Yes, that is a long time to plan, but roads take a long time to build, bridges take even longer, and so we need a plan for the future.
Well, 20 years, 25 years, hard to plan for, but it's been 30 years since we had a transportation tax in Louisiana, a tax that was increased to help us get to where we need to be. And next Friday, Sean Wilson, the Secretary of Transportation, will be our first guest, but is that something that is a necessity to have the money to feed the beast?
Well, there is definitely a need for more revenue. One of the big things we're going to be looking at in our long-range plan that goes to 2046 is how do we generate that revenue when our taxes are on internal combustion engines, and in 2046 we don't expect to be producing any.
Now, you had something a few years ago called MOVE 2042. And you have raised money, and there has been some movement forward. Has it been significant?
I would say so. We've spent so far over $100 million in the capital region, and we have another over $300 million in the pipeline because of that plan.
Well, all these years in this region, which is your specialty, we have moaned and groaned about traffic, and it's terrible. We've increased the space on the roadway leading out of Baton Rouge, I-10, and the leading in, and yet as our city has grown, we just have more cars filling the new lanes, and we still have the same issues. There's been talk of a loop for years. How can we get around the problem that just keeps on going, no matter how much we try to increase space for the vehicles that are moving through the city?
Well, I think we should first look at where are our problems. I think we have a lot of small bottlenecks that cause big problems. And then one of the things that we're going to be looking at in MOVE 2046 is what are our future needs? We've seen over the last year a cratering of passenger vehicle traffic, but an increase in freight traffic. So it's been kind of a double-edged sword, but we need to look at that and plan for it.
Now, in the COVID age, we've had fewer vehicles on the road. As we travel, we can see that's changing. But we've had many accidents and lots of fatal accidents. People are driving like wild people, and we had 88 deaths in Baton Rouge last year just from traffic fatalities. So we've got a big problem with how we drive, too, not just the roads, but how we conduct ourselves on those roads.
Yes, that is a very good point that you bring up, Jim, because a lot of places, when you get a traffic ticket, you also have to go back to traffic school. And here we just collect the money and we don't improve the driver training so that they don't create the infraction again.
I like that idea. Go back to traffic school. That would be something. There would be some resistance, but we might have fewer accidents and fewer fatalities on the roads. But the roads are, in many cases, outdated and poor shape. Those potholes that we have cause wear and tear on our vehicles, causes us probably to have more costs for repairs per capita than most any state in the country. What can we do to refurbish the roads we have?
What we can do is spend our money through an asset management plan and through a maintenance plan that basically fixes the roads before they get too bad. So many of our roads are in total need of repair, where you have to close them, rip up the base, rip up everything, and repair it. That becomes about 10 times more as expensive as just doing a basic overlay when the road needs it.
877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number. Jamie Setz with us for a little while. He is the Executive Director of the Capital Region Planning Commission. As mentioned, we're in MOVE 2046, trying to make us a better place as far as how we get to and from places in the next 25 years. And you have a listening tour and a learning tour, as you're calling it, and some public meetings that are being held online. Now, tell us more about this.
Yes. Yeah, so because of the COVID crisis, we are having to do a lot of our work online. We've been having stakeholder meetings with parish presidents and mayors, and that's all being done online, and we are recording all of that. And we also have a pretty extensive outreach online. So we are hopeful that even though COVID is going on, people will still participate in the planning process.
Now, I grew up in the city of Little Rock, living there 10 years. It's a city almost identical in size to Baton Rouge, both about, you know, 800,000-900,000 metro. I lived there 10 years, and we didn't have the same kind of log jams. Why do we have the same kind of – why do we have an increased problem in Baton Rouge that is not in place in other cities of comparable size?
One, we have a river that boundaries one side of our city.
So do they.
Well, we only have two crossings, and those crossings are very old, and they're very inadequate. And the other thing
is
that people
only have two as well, but keep going.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is Baton Rouge is also, in effect, basically an island. There are only three bridges that cross the Amite. There are only two roads that go north and south. So we are very constricted in how you get into East Baton Rouge Parish.
All right, and the listener has already corrected me. Little Rock does have more than two, but two that are in the main area and then some in the outer areas. I guess if we counted the Sunshine Bridge, we have others too, but it takes a little bit to get there. But you know, there are people who drive out of the way to go to the Sunshine Bridge to get in and out of Baton Rouge.
Yes, and one of the things that we did just recently was we evaluated what was the economic loss when the Sunshine Bridge was down for the year a couple of years ago, and it was almost $300,000 a day cost to our businesses.
877-217-5757 for Jamie Setz, who heads the Capital Area Planning Commission, and Randy and Zachary, you're on with Jamie. Randy, good morning.
Yes, good morning. What comes to my mind is in Germany, the Autobahns are built so well, they last forever. Thanks.
Yeah, they do a lot of things different in Germany. One of the main things they do is they warranty their pavements. So the contractor has to go get a bond, and that bond is a long-term bond. So the cost goes up, but you also get an increase in quality at the beginning. The other thing is that we have about three times as many interchanges on and off ramps on the U.S. interstate versus the Autobahn. And so once you get on, you don't have as much congestion on the Autobahn as you do on our interstate.
877-217-5757. Ryan Van Dinter writes, do more lanes cause more traffic? And what are the plans for increasing multimodal transit options?
Well, we are, as part of the long-range plan, we are doing two other smaller plans with the same public involvement process. One is a Baton Rouge Ferry feasibility study to look at maybe would a ferry be applicable to kind of bridge that gap between the new bridge and where we are today. And the other is we're doing a regional bicycle pedestrian plan so that we can look at alternative modes of transportation and different ways of solving our problems.
And another listener, RJ, says maybe one of the reasons why we have difficulty in Baton Rouge is that we tend to take the interstate just to get to places within the city when we could easily drive surface streets. We have a habit of hopping on the interstate here, don't we?
Yes. I believe that per lane mile, we probably have more lights than a lot of other cities. We seem to have a light at about every intersection. But the thing is we have a lot of two-lane roads that we've never upgraded, and they just don't carry as much traffic or as safe as a four-lane road. And so that was one of the fixes with Move BR, was really four-laning a lot, or three-laning and four-laning, a lot of roads that really should have been done 30 and 40 years ago.
All right, and another listener, Brianna, asks about how to participate in these online meetings you have.
Okay, so the web address is crpcla.org/move2046, and you will be able to complete a survey and give us your input on what are the biggest issues for congestion and safety in the area.
You've been following this for a long time. What do you think? What are some of the ways we can improve in the short term and in the long term?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to understand that people are going to go where people want to go. And so we should be providing traffic for them, you know, traffic relief. We should look at removing as many lights as possible. We should be looking at, as the state is doing on a lot of the main arteries like LA1 and Airline, taking out as many curb cuts on your arterials. As the guy that talked about the Autobahn brought up, Germany does things a lot different. When you're on an arterial in Germany, there are no curb cuts. There are no business exits and entrances onto the main roadways. Those are all on your neighborhood streets. It makes a big difference in both the speed, the congestion, and the safety.
877-217-5757 is your number for Jamie Setz, the executive director of the Capital Area Planning Commission. And he has been on his job for 7.5 years, military training, went to a military high school, right?
That's true. Riverside Military Academy, Gainesville, Georgia.
Gainesville, Georgia, and VMI.
That's correct.
All right. We'll be back with Jamie Setz after this time out on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Katie Ann McDonald producing, and a few more minutes with Jamie Setz of the Capital Area Planning Commission, and his group is trying to find a way to make our community an easier place to get around in. And as we know, transportation has been an issue kind of like crime. It just keeps on giving, and this, both of them, we'd like to do much better than we have been doing. 877-217-5757. Patrick in Innisfail Estates, you're on with Jamie. Hi, Patrick. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. I think, if anything, when it comes to planning, we got too much public input. I've been to these public meetings. It's a lot of talk. People talk who have no idea what they're talking about. And we have a lot of NIMBYism, which is not in my backyard. And that's what killed the Loop project. I thought the Loop was a great idea. And unfortunately, we have a lot of NIMBYs, a lot of people that they don't want it in their backyard. And it, and you see that with zoning. You can't even get a gas station where you need a gas station. And, you know, I just think sometimes the planning and zoning, just they need to do what's right for the city.
All right. Well, Patrick's fired up. He thinks we're doing a terrible job. And he has a lot of people who agree with him. And the Loop, for example, we've had a few people online ask questions about the Loop. And we've talked about that for years. And I don't think it's going to happen. Why not?
Well, I mean, I believe it was only 5 years ago that a private company, AECOM, offered to buy Airline Highway from the state for $800 million. That was, in effect, a loop that's already in existence.
And how would that work with a private company owning Airline Highway?
Well,
they wouldn't own the whole Airline Highway. They would just own a portion of it.
Yeah, they would just own the part from you would get a new interchange over on I-10 in West Baton Rouge that would take you over the old bridge, and then it would take you down to their scheme was I-12.
But if a private company owned it, how do they get their money back?
Well, they toll it for
you. They toll it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
we don't like tolls here.
Well,
but would tolls solve some of the issues?
Well, they're looking at tolling the new bridge and using that for the money. So tolls are going to tolls are in our future.
Well, and also what an earlier a listener discussed was we like to travel on the interstate, and if we had tolls that were involved getting to the interstate, that might preclude a lot of that traffic. But if you're going across a bridge, you got no choice. You're not going to park your car on one side and swim to the other and get in another car. It doesn't work that way.
Right. Well, the AECOM's plan was to leave the old bridge free, and so from I-110 back to LA-1, you would not pay any money. So it was an innovative concept, but we let that $800 million go away.
All right, Jim and Walker. Jim, you're on Talk Louisiana with Jamie Setz. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, gentlemen. Half our problem is that we are already 20 to 25 years behind on our interstates, and a lot of that lies directly at the feet of Fred Dent and his ilk, who tax-busted us away from any type of repairs and building out of the, in the future of our roadway systems. People are too cheap in this town to spend money on everything. They love to complain about it, but they will never pay for it.
Well, we have had that historic problem that our taxes on fuel have not been raised since the 80s, 1986.
877-217-5757. Nicholson in Lafayette. Nicholson, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you, Nicholson.
Morning, Jim.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just making a comment. I live in Lafayette, and we always have to deal with the bottleneck right after the bridge. That's still the case, right? Hadn't changed in the last month or two, has it?
I can only imagine people, and there are some who commute to either from Baton Rouge to Lafayette or the other way around, and it's hit or miss because you can literally spend your whole day on that 50-mile stretch if there's a wreck, and that's no fun.
That's correct, and that's one of the things we're looking at is how do we upgrade the roads from I-10 back up to 190 and then make that a real bypass for when there's an accident on the Atchafalaya.
877-217-5757. Still time to talk with Jamie Setz of the Capital Area Planning Commission, David in Shenandoah. David, you're on Talk Louisiana. Hi.
Good morning, Jim. I just wanted to point out that we need not forget when the Jindal administration raided the transportation trust funds just to justify some type of budget balancing act back in the day as far as the highways.
All right. Has that been a problem as far as money being drained from what was thought to be a secure source of funding?
Yeah, historically that was a problem. For instance, in the fiscal year 2015, over $100 million was taken out of the Highway Trust Fund to be spent on other things. So I believe that has been fixed in recent years, mm-hmm. but it is always a perennial problem.
And my guess is that Bobby Jindal, who will turn 50 years old on June 10th, if he had to do it over, he would. He wouldn't govern the way he did. And the no new taxes mantra went to a ridiculous level because when you're draining money from another source, you're in essence causing friction in the government that involves taxes. Where does that money come from? And it's smoke and mirrors, no doubt. And that was done in a few different cases, and it didn't work.
Well, and let's just remember that Bobby Jindal also took $400 million in federal money and handed it back to the federal government instead of building the Baton Rouge to New Orleans Railroad.
And he also took $80 million for broadband in Louisiana, $90 million, I believe, that was designated for our state and rural areas and gave it back to the federal government.
And now we have one quarter of our students that can't do remote learning during COVID because they don't have broadband.
And he signed the Stelly bill to repeal, which was a mistake. And one of those who voted for the repeal was none other than the current governor, John Bel Edwards. Now, what about the news yesterday that he says we're going to be, at least for the short term, okay on the budget, that we have enough federal assistance to move forward even in the COVID age? Is that a welcome sign?
I think so, but it also just goes to kind of paper over the fact that as our taxes are going to start dwindling as the internal combustion engine goes away from our traffic network. How do we replace that money?
Our money that we receive.
Right. I mean, if you don't have a gas-powered vehicle, how do you tax it?
I hear people like John Kennedy whining about the Keystone Pipeline. Well, in 2035, if GM and these other automakers live up to what they're saying they're going to do, then we're going to have a change that's necessary anyway. And 2035 is right around the corner. That's 14 years. You're looking 25 years ahead. 25 years, do you think we'll still have cars with gas?
No, I do not believe so.
Not at all.
I do not believe so. Gas and diesel will probably not be a fuel mix in our transportation network.
So how will the roads look then?
Well, they're going to look worse until our legislators and our elected officials figure out how to tax the people that are actually using it.
Will we have these stations where we plug in our vehicles? Or will we, by that time, will we have the capacity to go hundreds of miles without getting a charge?
That's what the government and the industry are talking about. Who's going to, if you have electric charging stations, who owns them?
And what about these vehicles that don't even require a driver? Are we going to see that in 2046?
I think so. I personally believe that is going to happen sooner rather than later. And that's another question. How do you tax that vehicle that doesn't have a human in it?
All right. Well, Jamie Setz is at the forefront of the evolution of transportation that involves the massive wave of new technology. And again, you can go to crpcla.org, crpcla.org, and then move 2046 will get you to where we need to be as far as finding out more about what's going on with this plan that covers five parishes, mm-hmm. Ascension, East Baton Rouge, Iberville, Livingston, and West Baton Rouge. And thank you for the work you do, and look forward to it. There is a meeting Tuesday, March 2nd I have two times here, noon and 6 or noon to 6?
Noon and 6, yes.
Noon and 6, that's Tuesday, and then Thursday, noon and 6 as well. So thank you, my friend. Keep up your work, and we'll return after this time out with Philip Manuel, the fabulous singer from New Orleans. He's been doing this for about 50 years, and he sounds as great now as he did when he was 17, and he sounded pretty good then. We'll talk more after this brief time out for the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. We're joined now by Philip Manuel, the fabulous vocalist from New Orleans. There may be better male vocalists in the world than this gentleman, but if there are, it doesn't take long to call the roll, as Bum Phillips would say. This guy is in a company almost by himself. There are few people who have the versatility that Philip Manuel does, and he's been doing it. I was saying as we were leading into this, Philip, you've been doing this for about 50 years now, haven't you?
Yeah, I started actually professionally my first professional gig. I was 11 years old. I sang at a high school gymnasium for a dance, and I made $50.
Well, that was good money then. It's not bad money now. But where was the dance? What gym?
It was at Walter L. Cohen High School, which is where I eventually ended up going to high school.
Walter L. Cohen.
Yeah, in New Orleans, on Dryad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dryad's where Charlie's Steakhouse is. That place still
open?
Is it still open?
Yeah, they're still open.
Really?
Yep.
That's a blast from the past. Well, speaking of fine restaurants, Commander's Palace. You've been performing there, at least recently. I'm told I have my spies who say, in a way, I don't know if this was virtual or with patrons, but your voice was wafting through the breeze at Commander's Palace.
Commander's does a wine tasting every Wednesday night. It's a virtual wine tasting. But I actually go to the restaurant to sing. They feature three bottles of wine and a couple of different cheeses. And so they have experts come on and talk about the wines and the cheeses. And it's all done virtually. And they have a theme. And this week it was Under the Sea. And they have entertainment mixed in with the you know, repartee about the wine and the cheeses. And I was the entertainment this week. And since the theme was Under the Sea, I did two songs. I did Beyond the Sea. And I did How Deep is the Ocean?
Apropos from Philip Manuel, 877-217-5757. And one of the reasons we invited him, always good to talk to Philip, but it's been a year now since we had the COVID alert that resulted in March of 2020, the first deaths in Louisiana. And now in America, we have over 500,000 people who have died of COVID-19. We do have a vaccine, but entertainers are still largely on the sidelines, and many of them. Now, Philip does a lot of different things, so I'm sure he has been able to take care of himself and his family, but others don't have that luxury, Philip. And how has it been for people who rely exclusively on their artistic endeavors to get by?
It's been tough. No doubt it's been tough, and musicians have taken to doing different things to make it work. Some of them are doing, like, virtual performances. I know that Glenn David Andrews, for a while, every morning at a certain time, you could see him live from some street corner or venue, I think near his home. And, you know, you basically play for tips and, you know, hope people will support the effort and you know, and tip you. So musicians have been doing that. I know other musicians who fortunately, who not only play in the secular field, but also play in church. So they've been doing their thing virtually. They're still doing it, but it's different. Musicians have been doing a lot of different things. Some teach that weren't teaching before. So it's you know, it's been, people have had to adjust, and, you know, that's what we're trying to do.
I was in New Orleans on Tuesday, and it was pretty dead, and it was a glorious day. But that city has been hurt probably as much as any city in America by this because of its huge reliance on tourism and entertainment.
Yeah,
how much of a residual impact will this have?
You mean in terms of?
Well, this basically a year without the joy that we know the Crescent City to provide, and the people who are necessary to provide that joy.
Well, you know, Jim, I wish I could answer that. We lost a lot of musicians after Katrina, some that never came back. One of my favorite musicians that never came back was Daryl Levine, a piano player that I just absolutely adored working with. I don't know how many we've lost as a result of the pandemic or how many we will lose, but it no doubt will have some lasting residual effect on the city. I'm hoping that by the end of the summer or in the fall, we can be somewhat back to normal. I was reading in the paper this morning that they're loosening restrictions on indoor gatherings now because they've seen a consistent decline in COVID cases and COVID deaths since the vaccine has come out. Hey, I just don't know the lasting effect it's going to have.
Your number, if you'd like to talk to this exceptional singer and ambassador for New Orleans and Louisiana, Philip Manuel, 877-217-5757. A listener notes the patriarch of the Marcellus clan died of COVID, and we have lost some people who are hugely talented. Charlie Pride died. You like music of all kinds. He was the black country singer who was a trailblazer, but he performed before a huge crowd and got COVID, and that's why we're not doing these things. When do you think we'll get back to normal, if ever?
I think we will. I think human nature will eventually take its course. People need closeness. They need that. And I think we'll eventually get back to that. But I think if I had to set a date, I would say it'll be before we're feeling really relaxed. I would say it'll be this time next year.
Take a full year beyond this one, so that would be two.
I think once we get the vaccines in as many arms as people who want to take it and really get this thing under control, I think then it's about public perception and, you know, whether we're safe or not. And I think that's going to keep us masked up a little longer and being cautious a little longer. I think so.
Did you get your vaccine?
I get my first shot today at 1:40.
At 1:40, well.
I am so excited. Well, my wife has received both of hers.
Well, I think the more of us who get vaccinated, the better, and I'm hoping to be in that number pretty soon myself.
I wish the same for you, my friend.
Yeah, but you and I are people who... we thrive on being with people. That's how we earn our living. And I know you've been around people, and fortunately neither one of us has gotten this, but the older we are, the more vulnerable we are. And 500,000 deaths in the U.S. is noted. That's more than all the wars put together. So it has been a serious thing. And unfortunately, I think the death count a year from now may be a million people, but
it could be.
Let's hope for the best. Steve in Mandeville. Yeah. Steve, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Steve.
How you guys doing? Philip, I don't know if you remember me, but I used to have a little studio in Kenner Rocket Studios, and I worked with you and your brother.
I remember that studio.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
I don't think I ever recorded there, but and maybe I did, but I do remember the name of the studio.
I know Terry did. Terry's your brother?
My brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my brother.
Yeah, I know he did. We worked with a guy named Ron Cuccia.
The writer.
Yes. But, man, it's really good to hear from you, and keep on rocking, dude.
All right. Well, thank you, Steve in Mandeville, a fan of Philip Manuel, and anyone who's ever heard him becomes a fan instantaneously. And I know those in Baton Rouge really remember your days at Geno's quite well.
Man,
you were holding court
really?
For many Thursday nights there. And in the summer nights, hot summer nights,
the
cool
with the Baton Rouge the professors and instructors at Baton Rouge, they would play the concert, and we'd do this great concert every year, hot summer night.
Yeah, with Bill Grimes, and a listener has noted.
Bill Grimes, Willis Deloney, Troy Davis.
The last time that he heard you on the radio was with me and Bill Grimes. That was a few years ago.
Wow.
I think we were at that time talking about one of these, and it coincided. This is Hal in Monroe, said it coincided with an anniversary for Dave Brubeck and Take Five, one of the great pieces of music of all time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Now, you have said growing up, your dad was a great singer. And you, of course,
the best I ever saw.
And you were around
outside of maybe Ella Fitzgerald. I think my father is probably the greatest singer I've ever heard.
Well, you loved all the New Orleans icons and Nat King Cole. And I'm reminded by another listener that you, Philip Manuel, are a big fan of Andy Williams.
I love Andy Williams.
Well, I'll tell you,
my father taught me to appreciate a good voice, period. And Andy Williams had the best technique of any singer I heard outside of my father at such a young age. He had range, he had wonderful diction, beautiful tone. And he just was a very complete singer. I'm a big fan of Andy Williams.
All right. Well, Katie Ann McDonald, our producer, has Andy Williams queued up and Philip Manuel. And we will continue our conversation with him. 877-217-5757 after this brief timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. We're continuing our conversation with Philip Manuel, the great singer from New Orleans. 877-217-5757 is your number. PM in the AM. And Philip Manuel was talking about his affinity for one Andy Williams, Katie Ann McDonald. I think you can play it. She points out it's been 60 years, 1961.
Wider than a mile, I'm crossing you in style someday. Oh, dream maker, you heartbreaker, wherever you're going, I'm going your way. To drifters off to see the world, there's such a lot.
All right, he had some pipes. Great tenor. Andy Williams died in Branson, Missouri. And that's 60 years since Moon River and Breakfast at Tiffany's. 60 years. George
Man,
Bacall,
what a voice.
Audrey Hepburn.
I mean,
yeah. What a voice.
So he could be so subtle. I mean, he just had such nuance to his voice, you know. It was just such a really good instrument. I loved his voice.
But I am impressed that a black man from New Orleans had this love for Andy Williams.
Well, you know, Jim, my grandmother and I guess it was Saturday evenings were the when the entertainment shows came on. my grandmother and I were regulars for Andy Williams' show. Mitch Miller had a show. People don't know who that is. Yeah. And Lawrence Welk, who's still in reruns, had a show. And that's where I learned all of these songs and where I heard, you know, a lot of different types of singers, black, white, and otherwise.
Yeah, Andy Williams, he was on a long, long time, founded the Osmond Brothers.
And they were great singers.
You know, they were
really good singers.
Politically incorrect, but yeah, that's one of my guilty pleasures. I was a Donny Osmond fan. I'll admit it.
I loved them as a group. You know, as when they would sing together, because that's the way we sang together as kids coming up with my dad. We sang together as a family, and there's just nothing like family singing together. It's just the greatest sound.
Another listener notes that last March, when Bill Withers died, we had you on the air. Difficult to believe that he's been dead a year, but there's a guy from Slab Fork, West Virginia, who had a stuttering problem, who became one of the great singers and composers of his time. And Bill Withers does, Philip Manuel does Bill Withers almost as well as Bill Withers did. What's your favorite tune from him?
I like a song he did called "Who Is He and What Is He to You?"
Yeah, that is a great song. We could talk about that. Who is he?
That's what, and my next favorite would be "Hello Like Before."
Well, yeah, and that song "Lonely Day." Did he really hold those notes that long?
"Lovely Day."
Yeah, yeah,
He did. "A Lovely Day." Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did.
Who is he, and what is he to you? How does that song start?
It's a man we passed just tried to stare me down. When I looked at you, you looked at the ground. It's about a chance meeting. He and his girlfriend are walking, and they chance meet this guy on the street who looks very coyly at the woman and she at him. And Bill Withers realizes that something is going on, and he finally asks her, "Who is he, and what is he to you?"
Paul in Opelousas. Paul, you're on with Philip Manuel. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Paul. Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Mr. Manuel. Bill Withers, amazing. Never realized he made so much great music. Just wanted to express to you, where did the writing come for Bill Withers' type of music? My favorite Bill Withers song, "I Can't Write Left-Handed." Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Great song. You know, man. Go ahead, Jim.
No, Withers wrote all that stuff, didn't he? He wrote it himself, most of his work.
Yeah, and the best songs, man, come from living, from experience, from angst, from grist, from, you know, from either pain or pleasure. It, you know, one of the two things motivate great songs: pain or pleasure, love or something untowardly.
You know, he was married to Denise Nicholas, the beautiful actress, for a while, and it didn't end well. And that's part of the pain. He was really into Denise, and she told him to take a hike. I remember Rosie Grier, the football player, said that he and Bill Withers were both pursuing her at the same time, and he was losing out to Bill Withers, so he took up the guitar.
Wow. Rosie Grier, that's a New Orleans native, isn't he?
Well, he spent a lot of time in New Orleans. I don't know if he was
a native.
He
did spend time here.
No doubt. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on with Philip Manuel.
Good morning. What a great interview. It sounds like you had your red beans and rice for breakfast this morning. But anyway, I grew up in New Orleans, and it is really has an effect on you as your viewpoint in life. And thank you, and have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you, Phil and Jefferson.
Thank you, Phil.
Nick. All right. Nick says, I know this is off topic, but I wonder what's happening in many high tourist areas in New Orleans, where homeless people rely on panhandling for a large portion of their sustenance. That's an interesting question, but a legitimate one. New Orleans is a place where all kinds of things happen, and some things are more acceptable there than they would be in other places. And I suspect street people who they migrate there for the culture and for the weather, they're having a hard time too.
Yeah, man, it's tough. That's all you can really say, you know.
877-217-5757 is your number for the fabulous Philip Manuel in our remaining moments with him. And as I noted, how many years were you at Geno's on Thursday nights? You did that for a while.
Man, I think I did Geno's for maybe 3 solid years every Thursday night for 3 years, every Thursday night. And I think it started in 1989 and went on through 91, maybe 92. But every Thursday we were there, me, Larry Siebert, and different aggregation of musicians. That was fun. And, of course, Geno is just the best host. What I loved about Geno was he treated the musicians like we were special. We never felt like the help. You know, he was always so kind to us. We always had a good meal. He paid us. And we just enjoyed playing for his crowd. They were always so appreciative. I loved Geno.
And you've performed all over the United States, other countries. Any places stand out?
Well, my favorite country is Italy. Of all the places that I've been, and it's been a while since I've done any traveling, but I fell in love with Italy. I just love the feel of the place, the vibe of the people, the food. I have a great story about the first night I got first night I traveled to Italy. It was late in the evening when I finally got to my little hotel in this little courtyard, and I was hungry. And everything was closed, but across the courtyard was a little restaurant that was closing, but I got their attention. Well, long story short, they ushered me in, sat me down. I didn't have a menu. They said, don't worry about a menu. We got you. They fixed me a plate of food, put a bottle of wine, a bottle of water in front of me. It was so just beautifully Italian. And that was my introduction to Italy. It was just great.
Okay, well, Katie Ann McDonald, who's become a fan of Philip Manuel, she grew up in Great Britain, has picked one of your classic songs. This is Philip Manuel. Say is versatile, and he has a range that is just amazing. And last question, we're short on time from a listener. Will Jazz Fest work in the fall?
I think so. I am really hopeful. October 8th through the 17th, I believe, are the dates, and I am just extremely hopeful. Dr. Fauci says we'll be back to some sort of normalcy by the end of the summer, so I'm just hoping he's right. And I'm wishing everybody to go get their vaccine.
Well, thank you, Philip Manuel. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provide signature support. Until Monday, stay safe and stay tuned.